The Faithful Hall of Fame, Moses. This is Moses.
Hey.
Who was an Israelite born in Egypt in a time when Israelite boys were not supposed to live.
Wait, huh?
Moses, however, grew up in the palace of the Pharaoh, the very man who was enslaving the Israelite people. When Moses grew up, he made a big mistake and fled Egypt to live with the Midianites. But God called Moses back to Egypt to deliver his people with the help of his brother Aaron. After God showed his miraculous power in Egypt, he led the Israelites through the Red Sea and towards the Promised Land. They followed God, who showed himself as a cloud by day and fire by night. As God led them through the wilderness, the Israelites became thirsty and hungry. They complained to Moses and Aaron and said, "If only we had died in Egypt." God said to Moses that he would provide for his people.
Hey.
Each morning they awoke and found manna for the day.
Hey, what's that?
And each night God gave them meat. The people were still thirsty, and they were mad at Moses, saying, "Did you bring us out here to die of thirst?"
Yeah.
So Moses cried out to God, and God told Moses to strike a rock, and water came flowing out of it for the people to drink. And so the Lord provided for his people's needs. After traveling in the desert for 3 months, they came to Mount Sinai, and God called Moses from the top of the mountain. God spoke to Moses there of the future of his people and reminded him of the...
Aaron? This is exciting, isn't it?
You're right, Mo.
God has led us out of Egypt. We have the Ten Commandments. The people are on fire. They're excited to serve the Lord.
That's right.
Do you think you're all right watching over things for a few days? Because God's called me back up on the mountain.
You know, big guy, I've got it. You go. I got these people. They love me. You love me. They got me. I'm going to be fine.
All right.
They got me.
So I'm going to...
You go.
I don't know how long it's going to be, but you've got to keep the peace, right? Okay? So if anybody has any problems, Aaron can deal with it, okay?
I'm the peace guy.
Remember, we're excited about serving the Lord. He's led us here. He provided for us.
Go for it.
It's going to be good.
Off you go. Say hi to God for me.
I will do.
That's good. Cool. All right, guys. We got this, don't we? We got this. All right. We're happy? Yeah, good. We're going to do this. Don't worry about Moses. He's going to be fine. We're going to be fine. We're all excited with the commandments. Okay, so everyone, high five. Nice, high five. Good. That's good. So far, so good. All right, okay. Well, that's day one. And day 40. Day 40.
God has left us.
Don't, chill out, chill out. God's not left us. God's left us. Okay. What, are you panicking? You look it. You look it. Give me some panicking.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. All right. Calm down. Calm down. Okay. All right. Okay, Aaron, what did they teach you at school? What did they teach you at school? Okay, if God goes. Should we create another God?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Well, go and get me some jewelry. Go and get me some jewelry down there. There's some jewelry down there. Go on.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Go back to art school. What did I do when I had jewelry? I burnt it and I created a calf. That's what I'm going to do. Okay, so, okay, you're gonna see some. Right. So you want me to build another god because you're fearful because God's left us? Yeah. Okay. See how I know that? Okay, because I'm feeling it too. Okay. So don't worry. I'm going to go and I'm going to burn this metal up and I'm going to create a beautiful piece that we can worship. You good with that, Seth? Yes. Okay. Okay, here we go. See what happens here. Here's my fire burning that, and wow. Look what I've created. What? That's right. That's right. Let's see what you could do with burning metal. Okay. Well, Harvey not. Okay. This is a golden calf. Thank you. We like to empower people here. Okay, encourage. All right. Okay, I got a golden calf, guys. So, do you know what we should do? Worship it, yeah?
Okay.
That's the obvious thing. So, let's put it down here. And there it is. Okay, let's just worship this golden calf. Okay, let's get down. Ah, calf.
All right, God, okay, I think I've got all of this. You want the tabernacle built to this size, and you want the priest to be to consecrate it in this. This is a lot of instructions, right? This is, but I think I've got it all. The people are doing what? No, they were excited about your commands. What do you mean they can't be? No, you're going to do what to them? No, you see, but you've led us. We're your people. Remember, you love us. You've heard our calls of slavery, and you've led us out of Egypt. You provided for us. I know they're a bit of a complaining group, but they were really, really excited about those commandments and the fact that you have covenanted with us and that you're going to care for us. They were really excited. Please don't kill them. Let me go talk to them. Okay, I can't believe that they're worshiping other things, but let me go talk to them, and I'll try to make this right. Just give us another chance, okay, God, okay? All right.
Whew, here we go. Let's sing a song, guys, to our calf. Ready? Our calf is an awesome calf. It's so cool.
Excuse me.
Hey, Mo.
What do you think is going on here?
Just count stars.
Counting stars.
There's Twinkle.
No. Yeah. What's that behind you?
What? It's Seth.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
No. In the middle of all the people. What is this?
Oh, this. Yeah.
Why do we have a golden calf? Do you not remember?
You can tell it's a golden calf.
40 days ago, I came back down from this mountain with some commandments from the Lord.
Yeah.
And you guys were excited.
Oh, yeah.
Number one, you shall have no other gods before me.
Oh, you see.
And number two.
Oh, more, okay.
You shall not make an idol and worship it.
Dude, you tell me that one?
Aaron.
Short attention span. I forgot it. I didn't have them written down.
Aaron, I left you in charge.
Technically.
But, so, what happened?
Well, they got a little bit nervous, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so they were like, hey, Aaron, you know, it'd be so cool if we have another god. And I'm like, guys, we really don't want to do this. I mean, I told them, I told you, don't do this. But yeah, kind of, I'm a people pleaser.
God wants to wipe us out.
Wow. That's
right, he gave us these commands.
Whoa, sheep.
To set us apart, to help guide us. And he wants to now wipe us out because we can't even last 40 days.
Holy cow, that's harsh.
But I've pleaded with him. I've pleaded with him.
Oh,
and he's going to give us a second chance.
Okay. Thank you.
Right? Because he's a loving God. And
yeah,
he really, really wants us to be able to worship him, right?
Down.
He's going to give us a second chance.
Cool.
But you're going to have to eat that. We're not keeping this. This is wrong.
Eat that.
Eat it. So we're going to burn it.
Oh, no.
Back on the fire. Right?
What?
We grind it up.
There's lots of glitter now.
There's
okay.
lots of glitter.
Wow.
Nice and ground up. Now, you're going to have to eat this.
Salt and pepper?
Nope. As a reminder that we actually serve one God, and he doesn't come in an image. So God's given us another chance here.
I've eaten a lot of manna today.
So let's destroy this completely.
Okay. Oh, man, this is a bit rough. Oh, my. I need some indigestion tablets. Okay.
Sit down.
All right. Here we go. All right, it's here now, yeah. Okay, knife and fork, we don't have those yet, so I guess we're using our hands. Napkins, okay, here we go.
This is better than my mommy's cooking.
All right, guys, let's use this second chance to actually live for God.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay. All right.
I'm seeing. You bow.
All right, give a bow. Here, if you take this, Maddie, you can help me with He is God. We're going to teach you a children's song. We apologize for being here 10 months and not introducing some of our kids' songs, but it fits very nicely with this, and it's called He is God. The actions are very easy. If you know sign language, you probably already know most of them, as it does utilize American Sign Language. And so it is a song that the words should be up on the screen behind us. And so it repeats itself. So you, by the end of the song, you're going to know it professionally because it's simple, but the truths are so truthful and so vital to our faith and to who we are as a Christian people. He is God, and so we point, He is God, which is sign language, God, the one true God. There's no doubt. I'm going to shout it out. He is king, so you make like a crown on your head. The one true king. There's no doubt. I'm going to shout it out. Then the complicated part is, come and see what God has done, all the wonders under the sun. Come and see what God can do. He's alive in me and you. And so then you point to somebody, okay? And we just repeat this. It's a very catchy tune. Quite slow, so it's easy to go. So if you want to stand up, we'll get our action on. And away we go. Maybe. You don't want me to sing a cappella. No. There we go. He is God, the one true God. There's no doubt. I'm gonna shout it out. He is King, the one true King. There's no doubt. I'm gonna shout it out. Come and see what God has done. All the wonders under the sun. Come and see what God can do. He's alive in me and you. He is God, the one true God. There's no doubt. I'm gonna shout it out. He is King, the one true King. There's no doubt. I'm gonna shout it out. Come and see what God has done. All the wonders under the sun. Come and see what God can do. He's alive in me and you. He is God, the one true God. There's no doubt. I'm gonna shout it out. He is King, the one true King. There's no doubt. I'm gonna shout it out. Come and see what God has done. All the wonders under the sun. Come and see what God can do. He's alive in me and you. Come and see what God has done. All the wonders under the sun. Come and see what God can do. He's alive in me and you. He is God. Gonna go sit down. I'm not sure what's happened to this one. Anyway, you can have a seat. You can have a seat. Just a little thought that comes from that. So that was within our devotional reading this week. And when I read that, I kind of thought, you know what? I was challenged this week. With district assembly and everything, it was a little bit less time than we normally have for our sermon preps and everything. And we didn't have those days. But the passage has been on my head all week. And it's just been that fact, that reality, that the Israelites had just witnessed some incredible miracles by the Creator God who led them out of Egypt, the plagues in Egypt to release them. Then they get to the Red Sea. When all seems lost, God parts the Red Sea, and they walk across on dry ground. Then the Egyptian army gets wiped out when the sea goes back. So they are free. Then, as that little video showed, they begin to grumble for food and for water, and then they see that God provides them food and drink. And how this amazing God has done all of these incredible things, and then suddenly, within 40 days of being excited about following God and having his commands given to them and being described as the people of God, they make a golden calf. 40 days, a month and a week. They can't even last a month and a week without disobeying what God has just done. And they had witnessed all of that. That's why I love that song, He is God. You know, come and see all the wonders that he's done, all the things that he's doing. And the Israelites messed up. They got it wrong with after 40 days. Now, Aaron wasn't a very strong leader. The Bible in Exodus doesn't really show us a dialogue back and forth of, guys, we can't do this. It was, hey, give me your jewelry then. He seemed quite readily to just go with the crowd. Okay, the people are going to start to revolt and get anxious, so we're just going to keep the peace and we're just going to do what they want to do. And he caved and he went with them. But then for Moses to come down that mountain and to just be like, guys, what is going on? Seriously? Only a couple days ago, only, you know, a month ago, here you are saying to me, when I came down from this mountain with the Ten Commandments, the law of the Lord, our God, who led us out of Egypt, you said this to me, we will do everything the Lord has commanded. How quickly have we turned away? And I imagine Moses was heartbroken. His leadership was, you know, it just crumbled. The people couldn't last a month and a half before turning to other gods. And the challenge that's been on my mind all week is, how quickly do we turn away? Right? So the commandments are, thou shalt have no other gods before me, little g. And we think of idols. We think of, you know, these little statues that people worship. But what about money or our jobs or our houses or even doing good things? The things that distract us and get us in the way of actually worshiping our Creator, the God who has made us, who has saved us by his Son, who has called us out of sin to live in his holy kingdom. How quickly do we turn away? How quickly do other things distract us, take precedence over the focus on the God who created it, the true God? And that was my challenge this week. And I just wanted to kind of share that thought kind of through those creative ways, because it's a story that is very familiar to probably most of us here. But the challenge is still there. And hopefully, it will stir our hearts to kind of go, okay, God, I'm sorry, but that has become priority in my life, not you. And like I said, some things might be good. You might be doing good things for good reasons, but if it's not because you're doing it because God has called you to do it and that God is working through you and you're allowing God to minister through you while you're doing those good things, then you're just doing good things. Everything we do needs to be focused on him. We need to allow him, as that video earlier on in the service said, worship is a lifestyle. It's not just about gathering here on a Sunday morning to sing some songs. It's a life lived 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in worship to our Creator. And that's the challenge that I got this week, that hopefully is a little challenge to you as well. And Johnny's going to come up and share a little bit about what we experienced at District Assembly.
Yeah, I wasn't actually going to, I'll literally only be 2 minutes. But right at the start of the service, I said the only thing really to share was that the DS is re-elected. And then as we're worshiping, I thought, actually, no, that's not true. We had some great sessions at the assembly, and we're real thankful for that. Some were actually led by, by our people. And Glenn did a fantastic session on small groups, and John led a fantastic session as well. And so, you know, it's great to have these people amongst us, you know, being used by the district as well. But the theme throughout the assembly was that of the Great Commission, which is, in the NLT version, I have been given all authority in heaven on earth. This is what Jesus said. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And the focus at the assembly was make disciples. You see, the reality was, when they gave the stats out, and fair play to the DS, who was honest with this, was the church is in decline. We got to literally wake up and look at those stats and go, the church is on decline. Some churches have been closed. Some churches are nearing closure. Now, I'm not always a fan of looking at numbers as whether that's healthy or not. In fact, I don't think that is the big factor of what is healthy or not in church. But when the stats are saying throughout the district that decline is happening, not just on Sunday morning, but with finances or Sunday school discipleship or whatever it might be, you got to wake up and go, okay. And fair enough, the DS said, this is what's happening. And the preaching that was happening was an encouragement of who is willing to step in the gap? Who is willing to actually do something? Who is actually going to be bold enough, brave enough to go, do you know what? Yes, there's the decline, but are we just going to lie down and let that happen? Now, here in Southside, we, as you may have got gathered by us as pastors, we're not ones just to lie down and let things happen. Now, fair enough on the stats. God bless us that we're one of the only ones that did have some incline in our Sunday morning services. But you know what? We ain't fooling ourselves. People come and check out new pastors. That happens. And so, and also, let's be honest, we're an aging church. So are we going to be a people that are just going to tick along, sing our songs, do what we please, and then what? Hope something's going to happen. Or are we going to be a church that gets back to the basics, back to the story that we've been hearing here in Moses, and going, actually, we need to turn back to God. We need to worship Him. We need to do the basic things right. One of them is we need to be a praying church. We have to be a church that has a desire. It's all well and good. We can create programs and just keep on creating programs. So we're good at doing that. We can make them look funky and attractive. Great. But if it's not filled with God's people praying, if it's not filled with a desire to make disciples, not sheep steal. We're not interested in putting nice big flashy signs on front saying, hey, come here, we're better than other people or whatever, or new programs that will try and attract other people from other churches. Not interested. We are kingdom building, not Southside building. So we need to have a desire that runs deep in us, church, to go, we have to be making disciples. Disciples to that they root themselves in God. People that have a desire to get in the Word so that they grow in their faith, so that then they are reaching out. But guess what? It starts with us. It has to start with us. No matter how young or old you are, how long you've been attending Southside, or how new you are here, you are part of this body, and we love you, and we are needing to be on a journey together. We have to have a desire to make disciples. And that starts with prayer. That starts with a desire in our hearts to go, are we really wanting that? Or are we wanting just to pass our lives by and just hope the next generation will come up with an answer? Or just hopefully the church across the road closes their doors and we'll just get them? Or are we willing to go, actually, are we going to be like some that have had to close their doors? Or are we willing to be the ones to be pioneers on the district? That's what I was getting sparked up on. Can we be pioneers on this district to say, do you know what? Let's
be the ones to go, do you know what? Yes, the trends go in and decline, but we believe in a God that breathes life. And we are going to be a people that just surrenders ourselves before him. That means we are willing to do things we've maybe not done before. Maybe to give time that we've not given before. To be brave and bold, to maybe be uncomfortable for kingdom building's sake, be uncomfortable. So I just want to know, that's what I brought back. And I wasn't sure how I would present it. In the end, I thought, well, let's just give it. Because we just need to hear it. This message was true. We got to stop turning and looking elsewhere. We got to come back to the cross. And we have to have a desire. There are people hurting. There are people lost in this community, in our own communities. We have to be willing to pray. But not just be willing to pray, we've got to be willing to go to make those disciples. Not just bums on seats. That doesn't cut it. Some might bring bums in seat and think, job done. No, that's not the job done. That might be the start of a journey. So will you pray with us that we are a church that has been willing to be those pioneers, a church that is willing to go, do you know what? Yeah, the stats ain't pleasing to see. But man, we've got a great God behind us and leading forward. And we are willing to be the people to be brave enough to go, we've got to do something. We have got to do something. Nothing is not an option. We're in a season of change. And when looking at those stats, my heart was bleeding. Of going, do you know what? We can't just look at stats and go, oh, we're in decline, oh dear. That ain't us. That's not the spirit that we've been given. But we need to depend on God, not on ourselves. Let's pray. And before we finish with our final song, which is focusing on Jesus, because that's what we need to be doing as a church. We as leadership, over time, for sure, we're going to be bringing new ideas. But unless it's prayer-filled, what's the good it's going to do? Father God, we thank you, Jesus, that you give us these clear commands, a clear mission to make disciples, Christ-like disciples. Father, when we look at stats and across the nation, across the West, we see church attendance, involvement in decline. But we know, God, you breathe life. We thank you for bringing life into those dry bones. And Lord, we thank you for Southside. We thank you for the legacy. We thank you for all those that have gone before us in planting the church here and pioneering in the church here and giving their lives to the church here. Those who have gone before us, but also those who are with us. We thank you for them. Jesus, as the message we've been hearing here this morning, help us set our eyes on you. Our focus on you. Lord God, help us do the basic things right. To come before you in prayer with an anguish, a desire for our family, our neighbors, this community, to, Lord God, know you, to know how great you are, to know how real you are. Open our eyes, Father God, to the world around us. Open our eyes, Father God, to be missional. To live out this vision of practicing rooting ourselves. It starts with us, Father, as we go away, allow your word to be rooted in our lives. Father, that we can grow in you. And as we grow in you, we just want to reach out. And in turn, those that we're reaching out to, that they root themselves to you, that they grow in you, and the generations and generations, Father God, allow us not to be focused on tradition or what's gone before and the past. We thank you for it, Father God, but we need to look
for the now and the future. And Father, we thank you that you're not only a God of the past, but you're our God of the future, and you are our God today. So help us draw close to you. Give us that desire, that passion, Father God. Let's be that church that's willing to be the pioneers, a church that's willing to be brave, to be willing to be messy, to get into lives, Father God, of the broken, of the hurt, to be people that are willing to stand in that gap. Holy Spirit, we need you. We cannot do it on our own. We need you to give us the wisdom, the ideas, the plan, the path, Father God, that we follow. You are the creator, we are not. But we just got to start with a desire, Father God. Put that burning passion in us, Jesus. Each and every one of us. To kingdom build. Jesus. We are sorry when we turn elsewhere. Help us burn those idols in our lives, wherever that might be. Father God, burn in us the passion to have you as our one true God. We thank you. You are our King. Jesus. Amen. That's a song that we don't want to run out. Be singing, Holy Spirit, come. Allow that to be the tune of our lives, of our days, to allow the Holy Spirit to fill each and every one of us. After the service is finished, feel free. The altars are always open. Be sensitive to others. If someone's praying, let's not be talking loudly. Let's allow them just to be filled. Pray with them. Have a blessed week. I encourage you, if you can, to be here on Saturday for Ken's funeral, a man that gave so much to the church, and to Vi, who's given so much to the church. Let's support them. Let's love them on Saturday. Thursday morning prayer is still on, 9:30. Let's be a people of prayer. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Come, Holy Spirit, come.